Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 10, please. All right. Are you in verse number 22? Did I tell you what verse yet?
No.
I'm going to read the first verse. You read along with me in the second, please. Down to verse number 30. You say, preacher, we read these last week. We're going to read them again. And today I want to preach on eternal security. And another thought is this, another truth, the work of the Good Shepherd. Why are we eternally secure? It's the work of the Good Shepherd. Let's look at these verses. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, now watch it, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Lord, today we come to you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for these tremendous verses of scriptures. Father, I particularly enjoy the book of John. It's meant a lot to me these past several years. Thank you, dear God, for eternal security. Now, Lord, tonight, this morning, as I begin to preach now and teach, I do ask tonight, this morning, for your help. I ask God for your power, for your strength, and your wisdom, Lord, that I may rightly divide your word and be a help to your people. God bless now tonight, this morning. Exalt your name. Encourage Christians and save those that need to be saved. Well, thank you, Father, for today in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look with me today at the book of John, and in a moment we'll be turning to 1 Samuel 17. If you want to turn there to get ahead of me, 1 Samuel 17. But John is a tremendous verse of passage of Scripture, and I do like John chapter 10. It speaks about Jesus Christ as he reveals to being the Good Shepherd. We find in verse number 11, the Bible says, as he proclaims, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus Christ, now he proclaims to the crowd and to the Jews that he is the Good Shepherd. He's going to make a comparison of being a shepherd with sheep to that of course, believers. And he says here in the beginning now, he says that he is not like a thief. Verse number 10, we find the same chapter that Jesus Christ describes to us what a thief is and what he does. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. So today we need to remind you that the thief comes now to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I want to remind you this morning that the world today is full of thieves. Full of thieves. A thief takes from... Now, I say, preacher, how do I decide? How do I know what a thief is? A thief takes from and the Good Shepherd provides for. Yeah. You see, a thief wants to steal from you what you have and who you are. And the Good Shepherd wants to provide for you. And so when you want to identify a thief, or whether you're under the care of a thief or the threat of a thief, what's it want from you? What's it trying to take from you? Your innocence, your purity, your integrity, your family, your health, all those things. Those are what a thief takes from you. But Christ came to be a good shepherd to provide for you. And don't give your life to a thief. Don't give your life to a thief. And today in the religious world, there are thieves. Across America, there are thieves that want to take from you. They want to make merchandise of God's people. If you just turn the TV on, you turn to the religious channels, and full of thieves that are simply making merchandise of God's people. They build their ministries off the backs and the money off of God's people, and they live high on the hog while God's people struggle. And they make merchandise of them. Today, the internet has provided a way for religious men to make merchandise of God's people. And so be very careful. A thief is one that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but the good shepherd comes to give life. And so anything that would take from you and rob from you and ruin your life and steal from you He is a thief, and so he wants us to be aware of that. Christ has come that men may have life and may have life more abundantly. Boy, I wish that we would get that today. I know we believe that. We see it. We really believe it in our hearts. That the life that I'm looking for, the life that I want, I can find in Christ Jesus. In fact, He'll give you more life than you can handle. More life than you can believe. More blessings than you can even think of or be prepared for to receive. He wants to give you those things, but the problem is sometimes we as Christians, that we oftentimes return from the good shepherd, we turn toward a thief to find that life, and He'll only take your life from you. The sheep have received abundant life through the sacrificial life of the good shepherd. Christ said that He's come to give His life, that we might have life. And so we find that that's not what a thief does. A thief does not give his life for you, but it will take your life from you. So we have this contrast. The thief wants your life, and the good shepherd wants to give you life. In fact, this morning, let's quote this. If you know the Psalms 23, let's quote it together. You ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That speaks about the good shepherd. You see, the good shepherd, He is my shepherd. The good shepherd is my shepherd in this life. Not just in the life to come, not in heaven, but in this life. He is the good shepherd. He feeds the believer with green pastures. What we look for is people. What we crave to have, that life that's blessed, a good family, a solid marriage, and good kids, and bills paid, and food on the table, and just to live a peaceful life and have that blessings and the presence of God in life. He provides that. That's what the good shepherd does. We chase the things of the world, and we think that somehow if I make enough money, or if I have the right house, or the right car, or the right 401k plan, that somehow I'm going to find those green pastures, and they're elusive, and they're evading. How many times have you thought, if I could just chase those things and get those things, I'll have green pastures? Just as you got there, you realize it was a mirage and it was gone. You see, the thief fools and deceives the good shepherd, but He leads us. He leads us, feeds us the green pastures. He blesses us with still waters, the calm still waters. Jesus Christ does not bring chaos to your life. He brings peace. The thief will bring chaos. Today, if your life is filled with drama and chaos and confusion and frustration and anger, I'm telling you, a thief has busted into your home. There's a thief in your life. And the devil wants to be that thief, but Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, He says that He leads us beside the still waters. He restores me when I'm weary. What a great shepherd, a good shepherd. That when I am weary and just tired and cast down and broken down and just weary, the good shepherd, He comes and restores my strength. He restores my soul. Hey, this is not just a good passage of scripture. This is real life application. He is the good shepherd. He does restore our soul. He does give us comfort when we're weary. He does strengthen us. If we turn toward Him and let Him lead us and hear His voice, He's a good shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, like He's a good shepherd. You see, Jesus Christ wants to bless my life more than I want to bless. He wants for us to have more peace than what we want to have peace. He wants you to have a better family than you want to have a good family. See, he thinks good thoughts toward you. And He has good plans and will for your life. And so He leads you in the path of righteousness because that's where the blessings are at. Listen, the path of destruction and wilderness, there is no peace there. I think that alcohol is one of the greatest destructions of America and God's and American people. And oftentimes people resort to those kind of things to find some kind of relief or just a little bit of, I just need something to take the edge off. But that's not where the Lord leads. That's not a path of righteousness. We think of the things today that destroy people's life. Sexual immorality, drugs, greed of money. And all these things that America is chasing after wholeheartedly, and our youth is not far behind. Looking for those green pastures and still waters. And the good shepherd says, you're following a thief and they'll never provide those things. I'm the good shepherd. If you just follow me and hear my voice and follow me, I'll bless you with those things. Now, you might not become a millionaire, but God says this is better to have a great family and love in the home than a fatted calf on the table. You see, today our problem is that we have traded. We have taken the temporary, grabbed hold of the money and the greed and the immorality, trying to find something to fill our hearts. We traded those things for the blessing that God wants to give us. And God always leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He says that He anoints my with oil and my cup runneth over. I am followed by goodness and mercy all the days of my life. This is the thing the good shepherd does. He says here that He provides me in the presence of my enemies. When those around me are persecuting and those around me are scorning and ridiculing and would try to destroy the things of God, He says in your presence of His enemies that He prepares a table for us. So God is a good shepherd. Christ is a good shepherd. So He's a shepherd in this life, but He's also the good shepherd in the valley of the shadow of death. And so as my life draws to an end, and I walk through those dark times, those valleys, when death becomes a threat, He says this is only a shadow, because I've conquered death. I've removed the sting of death. And there I will fear no evil, because He is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me in the valley, in the dark times. And He's also my shepherd in the house of God. He said this, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now the problem today with Christians today is we have become like Israel. We have loathed the manna of heaven. We have ate the manna, for so long now that as believers here in America, we loathe it. Would to God today that we would get back to the place where we say, thank God for God's manna. Thank God for His blessings. And thank for God for Christ Jesus, who is our good shepherd. And thank God for a place called heaven, which is our one day will be our home. Today you see, oftentimes that moves us so little. Because we are so entertained by the world. And things of God sometimes become so lack of interest. But He is a good shepherd. Amen. Now watch this morning. If you have your Bibles in 1 Samuel 17, I want to read to you something here. I want to read to you a comparison, and then we'll get to the main message this morning in a moment. 1 Samuel 17, here we have in this text, this chapter, we have when Israel was facing the Philistines, and of course you remember the story of David and Goliath. Goliath being a champion of the Philistines, a man of war. And he had come out now for several days and issued a challenge to Israel. Rather than fight army to army, they would just fight man to man. And whoever would come out and fight against Goliath would decide the victory that victory. If Israel would win in the battle, the Philistines would be their servants and serve them. If Philistines would win in the battle and defeat the opposing champion, then, of course, Israel would be their servants and the Philistines would win. And this man was, you know the story, he was a big man of great stature, strong and looked invincible, a champion, and nobody would fight against him. So day by day, he blasphemed the gods of Israel, Israel's God. And David, of course, being on an errand from his father, hears this blasphemy. And he volunteers to go fight this giant. David is a youth, a shepherd. A shepherd, what he was. He goes and he volunteers to fight against Goliath. You know how it ends. He beats him with a sling and a stone. God gives great victory. But only notice the words of David here in verse number 31. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So Goliath is a thief. He's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine, to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now watch the comparison here. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear that took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Here we find that the work of the shepherd is the security of the sheep. And David here, he is a comparison, if you will, or a type of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. We see in this account that David now, he resembles, if you will, he typifies for us the work of Christ. David here is a picture of Jesus Christ and the good shepherd. We see here that David now, he said that in verse number 34, said he was caring for his what? Father's sheep. We find in John 10:20, it says this, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Jesus Christ is watching or caring for who? His Father's sheep. We find that the work of David was the security of the sheep. David said here, he said as he's watching his father's sheep and caring for the flock, that one day he happened to see a lion that came out and took a lamb from the flock and took off with it. And David being the good shepherd, he ran after the lion and grabbed the lion and delivered the lamb out of the lion's mouth. And when the lion turned against David, David grabbed him by the beard and slew him. Say, preacher, how that happened? I'm not sure, but it was an incredible event. That God was with David and God empowered him and God used him, and David killed a lion to deliver a lamb. It happened again with a bear. The same thing. David said, listen, I've killed the lions and bears to protect my father's sheep, and I'll kill this giant as well. See, we find this morning that the work of Jesus Christ is the security of the sheep. As long as the lambs were under David's care, he protected them. They had security. And today, as believers of Christ Jesus, we're under his care. We don't have temporary life. We have everlasting life. We have eternal security. We have once saved, always saved. Because we're under his care. You see, the work of the good shepherd is the security of the sheep. We are not secure because of the good deeds or nature of the sheep. When David protected his father's sheep, the good deeds of those sheep could not deliver them from the mouth of the lion or the bear. Their good works, their strength, they were helpless. They were delivered by the good shepherd. They were delivered by David. And so we are not secure by the nature or the goodness of the sheep or who we are. Well, we are secure by the work of the good shepherd. That's his job. Jesus Christ does the work of the good shepherd, not just for a few sheep, but for all the sheep.
Right.
All are secure. Doesn't matter this morning who you are, man or woman, boy or girl, adult or child, white or black, American or Asian. It don't matter. It doesn't make a difference to Jesus Christ. He cares for all the sheep and treats them all the same. And so what a blessing that we find that the security of the sheep is the work of the good shepherd. Now today I want you to see three things from John chapter 10. I want you to see three works of the good shepherd that gives us eternal life. Meaning this, that once we're saved. Now by the way, if you're not been saved, you are not his sheep. You can't claim this. But so often today, God's people battle with, when I got saved, am I saved forever? Can I lose my salvation? Can I somehow mess up in this life and lose my salvation? Can the lion come by? Can the devil come by and snatch me out of the flock? Can I lose my salvation? Can the enemy come by and somehow deceive me and pull me out? And may I lose my salvation? This morning I want to emphasize to you that we are eternally secure. It's a Bible doctrine taught by Christ himself. And I just want to see the work of the good shepherd. Why why does the Bible teach that once we're saved, truly saved, by the way, that we're always saved? Number one is this. We are his possession. Look at verse number 14 in John chapter 10. Watch the wording here. I am the good shepherd, and know, watch the word now, my sheep, and have known of mine. Verse number 27, we find the same wording. It says, my sheep hear my voice. We are his possession. Now, we're not his possession as in some kind of commodity. We're not in some kind of stocks and bonds in the eyes of Christ Jesus. We're not in some kind of property. But we are his possession and being part of his family. And so it speaks of an eternal relationship. It's not just temporary. Today we live, our minds have been so corrupted by the world today that we see around us. Because it seems like when it comes to friendships and marriages, nothing lasts forever. And we see that today in our country, marriage and divorce, we see people breaking up and shacking up and living together, all these things taking place, and it has impacted how we view the Bible. Now you say, preacher, why do you always mention those things? Because it's, like I said, it impacts how we see the Bible. It impacts how we see God. It has changed our way of thinking. So we try to interpret the Bible in our own mindset, in our own, how we've been influenced. But God breaks through all that and said, listen, you are my sheep, you are my people, you belong to me. And that does not end just because you get mad or upset or because I may be chasing you. It doesn't end that way. You see, we're his possession. Now, verse number 26 says, but ye believe not because you're not my sheep. See, those that don't believe, those that don't hear his voice, don't belong to him. And by the way, there are those sometimes that sit in the house of God that are not his sheep. Today, say, preacher, I don't hear his voice. You better check who you belong to then. Preacher, I'm not following him. You better check who you belong to then. Because he says, if you're my sheep, you hear my voice. But there are those that are not his sheep. They don't hear his voice. He says, verse 127, his sheep hear his voice. His sheep, this speaks of the relationship. Now, this is the nature of the sheep, is to hear the voice of the shepherd. It's amazing the parallels between both people and sheep. And we find that Jesus Christ, he makes that parallel throughout the Word of God. And so as I was reading about the sheep, you know, if you look at the Middle East where there's many shepherds, or you go out west where there's many shepherds, a sheep has really keen hearing. And there is such a keen hearing that they can, shepherds tending their own flocks at the evening hours can bring all the sheep from all these different flocks into one fold behind some kind of stone wall or some kind of pen where they keep them safe for the night, for the night's predators. And those shepherds can put all those sheep in that same fold, and they will mix together. They will bed down together. They will intermingle together in that one particular fold. In the morning hours, those shepherds can get up and begin to call those sheep. And you think, well, how in the world are those shepherds going to somehow divide up those sheep and get the right sheep back in the right flock? The sheep know the shepherd's voice. If the shepherd leads out to go to his pastures, he'll call to his own sheep, and his own sheep will hear his voice, and one by one they're going to follow that shepherd out to the pasture. And all the sheep return to their own shepherd, their own flock. And God says this, if you are my sheep, you will hear my voice. And he says this about us. He says, it's the nature of the sheep to follow him, hear the voice of God. And he says this about him. He goes, he knows his sheep. See, it speaks about we're his possession. We're his family. We know his voice as a child knows the voice of a parent. It's amazing to me that a baby in the womb gets used to the voice of mom and dad. And those voices comfort that child. The voice of a stranger, right? I can't hold that. So I can't hold your baby and calm it down. It's not used to my voice, not used to my touch. And that baby knows who mom and dad is by the voice. And so this morning he says he knows that we know his voice, and he knows us. He knows us. He knows his sheep. He knows what we need. He knows where we're at. He knows our condition. He knows us. And he says this, and his sheep follow him. You see, Christ leads the way. And his sheep follow him. Look with me. Hold your place in John 10. Look with me at John chapter 8. Let me show you a verse here. And so we are his possession. We are his family. We know his voice. He knows us. And then we follow him. In John 8, 12, the Bible says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now watch the next words here. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, there's those paths of righteousness. He said, listen, if you're my sheep, you're my possession, you're my family, you belong to me. You're my child, and you, if you hear my voice, you know my voice, and I know you, I know what you need, I know what you're going through, I know what is in your heart and your mind, I know what scares you, what comforts you, I know you intimately. He says, as I speak and know you, you follow me. And when we follow the good shepherd, he leads us in the paths of righteousness, he leads us into the light, not in darkness. Today, can I ask you a question real quick here? Where are you walking? Where do you find your life? Young folks today, are you walking in darkness? Are you living in darkness? Does your life not match up to things of the Bible? See, Christ is not here to condemn you. He's here to save you and give you everlasting life. He's here to lead you in the path of light, not darkness. We look at sometimes as God as this shepherd who is mean and angry and wants to kill us. No, he wants to save us and give us everlasting life, abundant life. And he leads us not in darkness to do our own deeds, but he leads us in the light for that blessing, for that peace, for that joy of life, for abundant life. Today, I know that I'm just flesh and blood, but I don't want to go back to the world. I don't want to live in darkness. I don't want to live in a broken family. I don't want to live where there's drugs and alcohol. I don't want to live where there's confusion. I don't want to go back and chase money and greed and live in moral, because that's darkness. There's no joy there. I want my life to be lived in the light. But I can't do that by myself. It's not in my nature. You see, it's not our nature. A sheep, by his very own nature, wanders off and gets lost easily. So he said this, he said, will you hear my voice and will you just follow me? Why? Because he wants to lead us in paths of righteousness and light. Today, if your life was filled with darkness, and by the way, I don't have to go down the list and explain it. Listen, you know what darkness is. If your life was full of hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness, your heart filled with anger and confusion, and malice, that's darkness. And you're not following the right shepherd then. So why do we have everlasting life? Why is one saved always saved? Because we are his possession. He says, you're my sheep. And by the way, Christ does not lose any sheep. Number two is this, and we'll hasten here. Why do we have everlasting life? Because we're his possession. Number two is this, we have his promise. We have his promise. Verse 28 says this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's his promise. He has promised that he has given us everlasting life, and that the Christian, the believer, that will never perish. You see, the Greek here carries the thought that the good shepherd gives everlasting life to the sheep, and they shall not in any least ever be fully destroyed. In our English, we don't use double negatives. But in the Greek, they did, to provide emphasis. They said this, no, not in any wise. Never shall a sheep ever be destroyed. See, we have that promise. And God says, listen, let men be liars, but let God be true. God can do all things, but he cannot lie. If God could lie, then, listen, we are all men most miserable. Let's just go home, eat, drink, and be merry, for there is no God. But God is true. And he has promised to give us everlasting life. Watch here the promises of God. Look in John. If you're in John, look back in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, look with me, verse 37. Here's Here he's speaking again of the Father's sheep. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that shall cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's his promise. So listen, if anyone comes to me, I'm not going to cast them out. They're my sheep. They hear my voice. They believe, and I give them everlasting life. Once saved, always saved. Look at John 5:24. John 5:24, it says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, watch it now, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Here's his promise. How do we become part of his sheep? How can we become, if you will, his possession? He said this, if you come unto me and you believe. You believe, you have faith in me, faith in God. I will know no wise cast you out, and I'll give you everlasting life. This is not a future promise or a future possession. This is present. You see, right now, I belong, as a child of God, today if you're a believer, you and I belong to Him, and right now we have everlasting life. It's not what one day that I'll receive it, but I own it. It's my possession, based upon His promise. And so His promise is present possession. I can count on Him like no other. Number three this morning and lastly is this. How do I know that once saved, always saved? Why is there no fear about everlasting life? Because we are His possession. We are His sheep. Because we have His promise. By the way, if we can't count on God to keep us saved, we can't count on God for anything else that He said. Lastly is this. Number three, we are in His power. Look at John chapter 10 again. As Christ now, He speaks to the people. He says this. He says, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now watch the next few verses here. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so right now, I believe that the Bible teaches now that we can rejoice because of our position. Where are we at? He says this, that I'm in the hand of Christ and the hand of God. So listen, you are, when you get born again and become a part of the family of God, you get placed in the hand of Christ. That's my position. I'm in His hand. And by the way, though He controls the whole world's not in His hand. Not every man is in His hand. But just because you're born doesn't mean you're a child of God. You've got to get born again. Get placed in His hand. He said this, when you get placed in my hand, you're also placed in the hand of the Father. Now with that thought, turn over to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. We are kept by His power. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look with me for a moment at verse number 3. Why am I eternally secure? Not because of the nature of the sheep, because we're prone to wander. We can't keep ourselves saved, but we do. We are His possession. We are His sheep. We are His people. We have His promise to give us everlasting life. By the way, if I could lose it tomorrow, it would be temporary life. He would say, listen, you're on probation, and you might be condemned. But He said, here's my promise. If you believe on me, I'll give you everlasting life, and you shall never be condemned. But we're also kept by His power. Look at verse number 28. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Tell you something. If we could lose our salvation, it wouldn't be a very lively hope. Right? Look at verse number 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to reveal in that last time. Here we see the sacrifice of the Good Shepherd. That Christ gave His life for us that we might have a lively hope. He didn't take our life. He gave His life. He didn't come to steal and to kill and destroy. He came to give life, life more abundantly. And He says now, verse 4, that we have an inheritance. This inheritance speaks of our home in heaven. It speaks of everlasting life. This inheritance is incorruptible. Today we see the world today being corrupted. All around us, corruption. And you can buy a new car or a new home, build a nice new home, and it's, right away it's corrupt, it's corruptible. Things break down, things rust. But heaven, my home in heaven, my everlasting life is incorruptible. It can't be corrupted, it can't be destroyed. It's undefiled. All that man touches, man defiles. See, preacher, I wanted to come to a perfect church. Good luck. The thing perfect about this church is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Because there are no perfect people. Whatever we touch, we defile. We can't keep anything straight. But my friend, there's a place called heaven that will never be defiled by the sins of man, by the tricks of the devil. It's undefiled. This life, everything has a beginning and an end. Things fade away. But oh, in heaven, my inheritance never fades away. It's reserved for you, for the believer. You know, if you go to a fancy restaurant, you got to make a reservation. You want to go to a motel somewhere, make reservations. And you go in there, and by the way, we've done that many times. We've made reservations in a motel somewhere. We're traveling, so we call ahead and make reservations. And it's always disheartening. You go in there and you say, I'm here for the rooms for Ed Mast. We have nobody under that name. Where am I going to stay? I'm not going to sleep in my car tonight. But it's also very comforting to go in there and say, and they say, got a room for Mast here. Yep, that's me. We got it reserved for you. You're all set up. See, that's how heaven is. It's reserved, not just for the church, but with your name on it. See, according to John 14, Christ said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There is a place in heaven with your name on it that's been reserved for you. Who does that? Not the sheep. The good shepherd does that. That's his work. His work is to keep us secure. Now he says this, verse number 5, who are kept, that's you and I, we are kept by what? The power of God. We're kept by his power. That word kept here is a military term. It means that we are guarded, we are protected, we are hemmed in by the power of God. We've seen this past week, the military go and guard the White House. You see, my security is more guarded than that, more secure than that. He has protected me. He has hemmed me in with his power. And that word power there in the Bible is what we get our word dynamite from. Dunamis. Powerful. Explosive. So we are kept by the power of God. Now, let me address two things. I've heard many people, you know, sometimes we try to interpret the Bible in our own wisdom, our own man's logic. Here's what many people say. Preacher, I believe that, but I believe this, that no man can pluck me out of my Father's hands, but I can pluck myself out. That means this, if that's true. That means that you can come and go out of the Father's hands at your own will and determination. That means this, that one day we get to heaven, you'll be able to say, I persevered in the Father's hands, and I'm here because I persevered! I hung on! Can I ask you a question today? How did Noah survive the flood? Did he hang on to the ark, or did he get into the ark? Did God say to Noah, Noah, I want you to go to the ark and I want you to drive some pegs in the side. And Noah, if you hang on tight, you'll survive the flood. No, he said, Noah, get in the ark. And God shut the door. So when we get in Christ Jesus, he's not telling us to hang on really tight. And if you persevere and hang on and you don't sin and you say all the right things, you're really good to people. And if you persevere, you'll make it. No, you can't even pluck yourself out of the Father's hands. You won't be able to say, get to heaven one day, by my strength, I stayed in the Father's hands. You and I will say, by the grace of God, we're here. He protected me. He hemmed me in. He guarded me by his power. I've heard some people say this. Next argument. Well, preacher, I believe this, that no man can pluck you out of the Father's hands. But the Bible doesn't say, it says man, not the devil. The devil can pluck you out of the Father's hands. Now let me tell you something, that was true. If the devil can pluck us out of the Father's hands at will, that means my Father, first of all, is limited in power. And that means this. If somehow I get to heaven, not plucked out by the devil, it means I got there by the goodness of Satan and by his grace. Because if he could pluck us out, why wouldn't he pluck us out? Does he have goodwill toward you and good thoughts toward you? And like, oh, by the grace of God, I'll let those folks go. No, see, Jesus Christ said, he said, listen, you are kept by the power of God, and the devil can't pluck you out. Because if he could, it'd be by his grace that we're saved. We're saved by God's grace and by his power. So we're kept by the power of God. The power of God isn't dependent upon our understanding or our ability. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. You don't have to. God is still powerful. The devil can tug on you all you want, all he wants, but he cannot, nor will he ever win. Now, go back to John 10 for a moment. Some would say, preacher, this is a dangerous doctrine to teach and preach. Eternal security, that's dangerous, because if you preach eternal security, that once you're saved, always saved, that means the sheep will live as they want to live. They'll just live haphazardly. They'll live in sin. You say, preacher, if you're saved and you can't get out of salvation on the Father's hands, that means I can drink and get drunk and not lose my salvation. Yes, that's what it means. Well, can I go out and shack up and fornicate and not lose my salvation? That's what it means. But what if I go out and murder somebody? Will I lose my salvation then? If you're truly saved this morning, once saved, always saved. See, this doctrine is not dangerous, but watch what happens to the sheep when this doctrine is taught. Look with me back at verse number 26. It says, but ye believe not because you're not my sheep. You see, those that don't belong to Christ act a certain way. They don't believe. They don't live for Christ. Verse number 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. You see, eternal security doesn't make a person live more in sin. It allows them to live less in sin. Why? Because the sheep realize, I've been saved from condemnation. I've been saved from hell. I've been saved from my own sin. And I love the good shepherd. I love his voice. I love being with him. I love following him. I don't want to do anything at all to displease the good shepherd. And I know that he has for my life goodwill and love and prosperity and peace and blessings. And I know that if I follow him, he'll lead me in green pastures and feed me there and lead me beside still waters and lead me in light. If I wander off, if I live on my own, I'm going to live in darkness. And so eternal security does not cause a believer to live more in sin, to do as they want and please. God said, listen, if you really are my sheep, if you're my sheep, you'll hear my voice. And today, this morning, I find a couple things about God's sheep. In the Bible, when there are comparisons and parables, he uses those comparisons and parables to teach us a handful of lessons. You can't take the parallel or a parable or a comparison too far down the road, because sometimes they tend to split off a little bit and you can't always force a comparison. We need this, that though we're compared to sheep, we can't compare. There are some things we differ from a sheep. We're not animals. There are some similarities of how a sheep behaves, but God has given us a free will to choose. Today I find that there are many who have professed to know Christ and are saved, and by all means it would seem like they're part of his sheep. But you know what? Sheep, or people rather, can become stubborn. Today there might be a lot of folks in the flock who are just stubborn sheep and say, Lord, I know what the Bible says, but I am not going to do that. Lord, I'm not going to hear your voice. I know what the Bible says, but, and so we get stubborn sometimes. And we dig our heels in. refuse to follow the Savior, the Good Shepherd. There are those in the flock who are sometimes who are wandering. Sheep are prone to wander. And I have read that sheep have no sense of direction. That's some folks here. And when they get turned around and get going someplace, they easily get lost and they wander away from the fold. Today, I'm not concerned about you being a member of Old Paths Baptist Church. I'm not concerned about you being one of Pastor Mass people. My heart today is this: are you part of the fold? Are you one of His sheep? And have you wandered off some? Today it's hard, difficult sometimes. I've heard a lot of bad news this week from people wandering a little bit. And there are some that would say, "Preacher, don't touch those things. Don't teach them. Don't get on those things." But it's hard when the Bible says this. The Bible says that when there is one sheep just lost, the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one. And today I would never want to embarrass anybody here or be unkind or rude in any way. But today I wonder if you're part of those who are part of His sheep. You know you've been saved, but you're wandering. You have been deceived by a thief and you've wandered off and now you're lost somewhere. And you know you're lost. You know you're wandering. You can't find your way back. You know how you find your way back? Turn again, listen to His voice. Don't plug your ears. Don't dig your heels in. Don't turn up the radio. You see, what Christians today were popular for going to the TV, our music, our entertainment. You know why we do that? We drown out the voice of the Good Shepherd. And today, I don't know if you're, I can't make that judgment. I'm not here to be your dictator or your judge. But you know this morning in your heart if you're wandering. And the Good Shepherd wants you to come home. He wants you to come home. You see, He says this, "I give you everlasting life, that you'll never perish. And if you're My child, if you're My sheep, because I love you and you love Me, you'll hear My voice, and I know you, and you will follow Me." Hey, quit being stubborn. Quit wandering. Follow Him. We are totally secure because we are His possession. We have His promise. We are in His power. Well, today I come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for John chapter 10. Thank you, dear God, for being the Good Shepherd and being My shepherd. The Lord is My shepherd. Help us, dear God, as we are the people of Your pasture. Help us, dear God, to hear Your voice, to follow You, Father. Through the mountaintops, through the meadows, through the valleys. Help us, dear God, to listen to Your voice and follow You, Father. Today I'd pray to this morning and ask if there'd be anything that's not saved, that's not part of Your fold, that's not Your sheep, that today they would get born again and get saved. Trust in You. Lord, my heart prays for those today who may have been stubborn and plugged their ears. Oh, they're in the fold. They're among the flock. But they're rebellious in their heart and they plugged their ears. I pray for those this morning who have wandered away, who drifted, Father, and got lost, Lord, and they're chasing a thief, and they've wandered. God, today, by Your power, by Your conviction, would You call them back to You again, Lord? Father, would they respond and come, Father, and get right? Lord, bless today, I ask in Your name. Let's all sing this morning as the piano begins to play an invitation song today. You need to come, would you come? We are kept by His power. We are eternally secure because it's the work of the shepherd, the good shepherd. It's not a bad shepherd, it's not a weak shepherd, not a maybe shepherd, not a temporary service. He is a good shepherd. Because of His work, we are everlasting, eternally secure. We have everlasting life. I cannot lose my salvation, but I can wander. I can plug my ears. Today, have you wandered? You didn't come this morning. Perhaps today you would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. And if I die today, I'm not sure for a Bible reason, heaven's my home. that I've not been saved. I'm not sure that I'm eternally secure. Today, would you come and meet me in the front? We won't embarrass you. We won't call your name. We'll simply take the Bible, show you from God's word how you can be saved. And know for sure, if you die today, heaven's your home. Today, would you come? Would you come this morning? Come on. If you come, you come this morning. Don't let the devil hold you back. Perhaps today you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm like that lost sheep. I've wandered. I've wandered a long ways. I've not lived my life in the path of righteousness. Oh, I believe he's my shepherd, but I've not followed him." Hey, it's not too late. He didn't cast you away. He's not disowned you. Today he's calling you to come back. Can you hear his voice this morning? Today, would you come back? Would you return this morning? Today, did you come? Would you come this morning? You come. One last stanza. Take you to come, would you come this morning? What the Spirit of God today has spoken to you about, you come, would you come? Preacher, I need to join the church. I need to get baptized. I need to get things right. So when you come then, don't delay. Don't wait. Amen. Thank you. I want to warn you today, if you can live your life as you please and never hear his voice, never feel convicted and wander wherever you want to go, this morning can I just cautiously warn you that you may not be his sheep. You may not be saved. See, when we don't follow him, we go our own way. The good shepherd convicts us because we're his sheep. If you feel no conviction, you don't hear his voice, if you never have any problems, you just can live your life haphazardly and never be chastened of God, you're probably not his sheep. And I encourage you to want to trust in Christ. To those that would say, "Preacher, I'm a sheep, but I'm going to wander and enjoy my life as I please," you can do that. If you really are saved, you won't lose your salvation. But I can say this to you this morning. Look up here now. He will chasten you. If you're really his sheep, he will chasten you. Deal with you as a son to a father, a father to a son. You cannot live your life as you please and not follow him. And like there won't be any problems. He'll chasten his sheep. Why? Because he loves us. To that, I encourage you this morning. We are saved because we're his possession, because of his promise, because of his power. But if that's the case, then if we're saved, we'll hear his voice. He'll know us. We'll follow him. Don't follow a man. Don't follow the denomination. Follow him. Well, today we come to you in closing. Thank you, dear God, for your word. Help us, I pray, God, today. Lord, today in this place, even though, Lord, we may not be great in number, there are those today probably here that are not your sheep. God, I pray you help them, Lord, to trust you, Father, get born again. There are those today who hear your voice and who are following you, Father. God, help us to live by grace, Father, and live by your strength and your power and walk in your spirit. And those today that are your sheep, Father, who are stubborn, who have wandered away, God, I pray you to help them, Lord, to come back, to hear your voice, Father, return, Father, and walk with you, Lord. Let them see, dear God, the thief that they're following for who he is and who they are and what it is. Lord, return to those green pastures and still waters. God, help us today, I pray. This we ask in your name. Amen.